With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 526, the not necessarily the box office report for the week ending November 17th, 2019. Good job. Thanksgiving is nigh.
Yeah, so close.
We're listening to Christmas music now, though, right?
Are we?
November 1st?
Who's we?
Yeah.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Because not me.
I always wonder, like, when I'm sure every city has their version of this, the radio station that plays all Christmas music. Mm-hmm. And, like, normally there's another radio station that might or might not play all Christmas music. And so then they're super worried that the other one's going to play it 30 seconds first.
Yeah.
And it becomes this nuclear arms race is who's going to flip to Christmas music first?
Who's going to balk?
And, like, but why? Like,
yeah.
Like I don't understand. Like I've never once, like, hey, honey, do you want to listen to some Christmas music? Yes, I do, but only through the station that played it 45 seconds before the other station.
Yeah.
That other station hates Christmas, and it can go straight to hell.
Oh, they're going to play Jingle Bells for 24 hours straight? No, yeah. Thank you. Do you remember that? Like, it was like, was it 2 years ago that one of the radio stations lost a bet, and they had to play Christmas music almost like year-round?
Oh, that sounds like a stunt.
That doesn't, yeah.
But I feel like it was a radio station
no
that was going out of business.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh.
Man, I wish I could remember what that was.
Because that's, I mean, like radio stations have ad sales departments and like, they don't let people just do
make,
you know,
make
like.
Bets. But I feel like it was like one of those like upstart radio stations that was going away anyway.
And sometimes they'll do that to get attention for a format flip.
Sure.
Like, that's what they did last year, is that news station. It was like they switched over or something, or someone bought the station, and Christmas music started, like, in October or something.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
And they played it through. I mean, I remember it was real early last year, but I think it was a news station.
There was a weird moment. I was listening to the local alternative rock station yesterday, and I just happened to turn it on, and it was The Cars.
Yeah.
And I was just like...
Was it just what you needed?
Yes, it was. But it was also, like... Did the point switch formats?
Right.
I didn't know, but it was just like a way back weekend.
Oh. Like,
that's
a weird
that's
for the...
That's a way
right.
back weekend.
That's a little light for them.
That's not really alternative rock,
I think
right?
it was.
No,
it
the
came
Cars
out.
Were alternative.
Yeah, when it
Is
came
it?
Out. Oh, yeah, for
when
sure.
When it came out, the Cars...
Okay,
that was,
so...
Because I remember when the rock station started playing the Cars, giving them side eye, because I'm like, when did you start playing the Cars?
Okay.
You didn't play that. Like,
right.
it was... You
it
know.
Was a scary moment, right?
Yeah,
that's really hard to judge with a current ear. Like,
totally,
I don't know what alternative rock was back in certain.
Another example of like an alt rock band that somehow managed to become classic rock was U2.
Oh, for sure,
U2 was. I mean, that was college radio.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the Police, same way. Like, though, you know. That somehow that
that's
classic rock stations were like, okay, we'll play that.
I feel like they went like adult contemporary.
What,
like U2 and the Police, like that's where kind of they and Sting for the
most part. Well, Sting for sure, but
Gordy,
it's all
jazz stuff. And yeah. Wynton Marsalis. And
no, thank you.
So he's Wynton or Branford.
Having sex for 72 hours or whatever.
Well, he even said that's not true.
I know, but it's still funny.
But who's gonna shoot that down? Right. I heard you have a massive penis. Oh, no.
Not me.
That's silly. Couldn't be.
Then who?
That's just Huey Lewis.
That's just a hurtful rumor.
For my wife.
Packing.
Yeah.
This is the basis for John Constantine.
What's that?
What?
When the original look of John Constantine is
Sting. And he's talking about Constantine.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about Constantine.
Right. In case you didn't pick up on that.
No, he said Constantine. That's his name.
Continue.
Yeah. But when I'm trying to think who drew that. Sting is the basis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what he looks like.
I thought you were saying Huey Lewis.
No.
I was like, what?
No. He's the basis for the guy that kicks Martin McFly out of the challenge, or the prom band thing.
You're just too darn loud.
So, man, when the realization when that was Huey Lewis, I was like, but they were playing his song, he's so mad at them.
It's clever.
Stupid pinheads.
And it was 1955, which means they invented meta humor.
Yeah, that's right. 1985.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It was in the...
He steals rock and roll from the black
that's
man
right.
in 1955.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, right.
So speaking of 72-hour sex sessions and massive penises, we should probably
I'm here.
Some shameless plugs.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you also fit. Shameless plugs.
Still works.
So don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. You should go there and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Imagine the pressure that would take off of you, worrying week in, week out.
So stressful.
Is there a new one
refreshing?
Out yet?
Refreshing.
F5. Did I miss it?
F5.
Yeah.
Is it there?
Let me do a shift F5 to
clear the cache. Just in case.
Yeah, like it's no, I will take all that pressure off of you if you just hit subscribe.
Bravo for you knowing about that.
Yeah. I know a thing or two.
How to
especially
at my
age.
It's control F5, but I mean,
that's close.
The fact that you knew that you could do a hard refresh and get new cat, I'm just impressed by that. Good job.
Well, thank you. Sometimes us old folks know things.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, your cell phone's slower.
I think I would do it right. It was like, I don't remember.
You don't remember that.
I just know which key I hit.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
clear my browser history.
Yeah. Well, every married guy, regardless
totally.
Of age, knows how to clear their browser
Absolutely,
history.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah, totally. So you should subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Like the page and join the group so you can stay up to date on breaking stories or just converse with us or other listeners. Lots of interesting conversation gets started over there. Mm-hmm. And, that's all at facebook.com/realspoilers. And of course the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And you could become an official League of Show Sharer member by sharing an episode.
Boom.
Just that simple. People who were kind enough to share a show this week: Griffin Fox Smith, Travis Tewitt, Zara Vandercreek, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Julian Jordan, Ron Johnson, Chris Williams, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Librarian Cynthia, Susan Carlson, Lane Levanway, Aaron Marlowe, Ralph Tribble, Glenn Brewer, Tom Comiskey, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. So thank you very much for sharing an episode and maybe helping us pick up a new listener or two.
Yeah.
And finally, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing you're helping out.
Boom.
You had a Shining episode this week. So if you enjoyed Dr. Sleep, you can hear.
It's a very in-depth discussion about The Shining.
Gotcha. So there was all that. I guess, I don't know, any big news?
I mean,
how's your Disney Plus treating you?
Yeah. Launch was a little rough, but I gave it like 12 hours and it fixed itself. So
yeah, I mean.
That's what I expected.
It's been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I had no problem. I woke up in the middle of the night and saw that it was
like
available.
Christmas morning for Kevin.
Well, as you get older, you know, you'd have to get up in the middle of the night. And
yes.
I saw it was available. So
you don't have to pee in the middle of the night?
No.
It's coming.
But so
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
I installed it and I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian and it was working fine. And then it worked all throughout the morning, I think probably because I was already downloaded and logged in. I know some people had login issues, some people didn't. But, you know, it was basically fixed by that afternoon and the whole internet was freaking out. It was a little ridiculous how there were news articles. One of them, I mean, I think it was MSNBC or four, I don't think it was Forbes, maybe MSNBC. But they came out with an article and they were like, Disney, I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically Disney spent $3 billion to launch Disney Plus and it doesn't work, or a complete failure or something like that. And it's like, that's such irresponsible journalism and ridiculous, because first of all, no, there were some bugs, there were some glitches, but there were millions of people watching it and enjoying it. Like, to say that it just didn't work, no.
That's, I mean, yeah, and I kind of expected it.
They got hit with 10 million users day one.
That's crazy.
Do you know what it went, how long analysts predicted it would take to hit 10 million users?
No.
1 year.
1 day.
They hit it on day one. So when analysts were predicting that, and Disney themselves probably didn't even know, it's like there's a lot of stress on the servers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they prepared. I'm sure they spent these months and months and months preparing. And
well, because they had pre-sold so much of it.
Yeah. Sure.
They knew what they were getting into.
Yeah, they knew what that influx was going to look like.
And so
then it was kaboom.
But it's like, yeah, when you have that many people, 10 million people hitting the servers at the same time, but, you know, they resolved it, they fixed it, and, you know, there were workarounds if you were having, like, basically the biggest problem once you logged in was the homepage said, sorry, there's an issue.
Right.
And then you could go search for any show you wanted to watch and watch it.
Right.
So it was just your homepage wasn't working and people were, oh my God.
It doesn't work.
And so I kept trying to post online stuff like, if you're getting this error, which not everyone is, just search for a show. Just put an A, B, C, and we'll give you every single thing. You can watch it.
Yeah, because Kevin and I were going back and forth about that. If you would search like under their categories, things weren't loading properly, because it would show like, you know, I would be like, let's look at all the animated movies to see what kind of weird stuff I've forgotten about.
Right.
And it was like, you could see, and it was like, they would be like, here's Bambi 2, but there was no Bambi.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Probably because the database was just so stressed. Yeah. It couldn't like query for every title.
You can watch the direct to DVD ones.
We got a lot of stress over on Bambi. You can watch Bambi 2 right now.
It was like, that was the old, that old SNL skit where they were like, it was the Jay-Z, like, streaming music service, and they're like, oh no, the
title.
Michael Jackson title, yeah, the Michael Jackson channel's going down, and they'd bring in like Ariana Grande or something.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Sing,
she would
like,
just sing.
She would sound like that person until it got it back up. That's what that was like.
That service is still around.
Is
that's
it really
Kanye's thing?
Oh, that was Jay-Z.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Jay-Z. Kanye might have a money in it too, but
yeah.
I thought that
Kanye's
was Jay-Z's
going to hang
baby
out with Joel Osteen.
But I
know he's involved, but those two were really tight for a while. So.
Those are some. I think they did one with Ariana Grande. They did one with somebody else.
Yeah,
and they were like, Ariana Grande is like, I know nothing about that person other than she's a pop
she's
star.
She's funny though,
but man, she can sound like just about anybody.
Yeah,
she's very talented with impressions, singing impressions.
That was very very good. But yeah, so I mean, it's ridiculous. I think the kid sat down and I wanted to watch The Mandalorian, but I got overruled and started watching Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. How was it? I haven't seen the new one yet.
It's not good.
Oh.
I mean, it's fine.
Okay,
I don't,
most people in that world are saying it's very cute and they're enjoying
that's
it,
fine.
But we're asking Joe. I guess maybe that's...
But then it was weird. Like, I came in on the scene. I couldn't figure out who the voices were, but I guess Lady is Tessa Thompson. Mm. Tramp is Justin Theroux. But I came in on the scene with the cats and I was like,
the Prime Minister of Canada?
Isn't that his name?
I don't know.
Who's the guy who was Mr. Jennifer Aniston for a minute?
That's him. I think the Prime Minister of Canada has a similar name.
Oh. Trudeau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Alec Trudeau hosts Jeopardy.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But I was like, oh, that's weird. I wonder, those aren't the same cats. And then I went back and I was like, oh.
Yes.
That's why they're not Siamese cats.
Right. We are Siamese, if you please.
They are super racist.
Yeah. So that was Lady and the Tramp. I can't remember if that's Arista cats or Lady and the Tramp.
No, that's Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
But I think there are Siamese cats in...
Yeah, there's lots of cats in that. But the Siamese, if
have
we
you
please,
seen
the
Rammstein version of Arista cats?
No.
Yeah, so you know like the scene where they're in like that dilapidated house and they're playing the piano?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took that and set it to Du Hast.
Oh.
And like as they're smashing down like the, you know, that song is going crazy.
Someone did that with Lizzo too.
Oh, did they?
And it's really good. Yeah.
But yeah, that service is impressive. Like,
there's so much stuff. I mean,
don't know where to stop.
Yeah.
It's really
what they're banking on.
But it really is a great value for your money. I mean, first of all, if you buy month to month, it's $6.99. If you buy for a year, it's $69.99.
I got it for free with Verizon.
Yeah. Okay. And if you buy for 3 years, it was $140 for 3 years.
And it'll be like $3.96 a month.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
That's a hell of a deal.
Because I'm like, I know damn good and well I'm going to buy
this.
I didn't need to see what it was going to be. Like,
sure.
When I heard about that deal, I instantly
same.
It out. I mean,
I was
it was like
I'm in.
Even when they announced it, you're just like, oh, everything? everything.
But I mean, I was at $69.99 for a year at first. I'm like, okay,
that's
a
good deal.
And then, yeah, but I mean, really, if the my household between me, Katie, especially Katie and Ryan, like, I mean, I don't think one other streaming platform is turned on over the weekend. Like, it's just there's so much stuff.
I feel like there's some stuff on Netflix that may have been like a Nickelodeon show that Bella has been watching.
Yeah.
But now that I'm thinking about it,
and Netflix just signed a big deal with Nickelodeon.
Interesting timing.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I had an ad in my in my Facebook feed. I sent it to you. Who was it for? Was it for Hulu or?
It was Prime.
Prime. And it was like, you could see, we've got these three Marvel movies.
The day of, they posted an ad.
That's hilarious.
It was like, well, that's adorable.
I'd be interested to see, like, you know, where Netflix and Hulu and Amazon were, like, what they, like, their streaming line.
Yeah.
And then what happened to their line at launch.
Well, right,
everything drops.
Well, and I don't think that, you know, when people are positioning this as the Netflix killer.
Not yet.
Not ever. I mean, Netflix has great shows. Sure. I go to Netflix for different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I don't, and no part of me is like, I don't need Netflix now.
Oh, no, I would never, you know, I'm not even thinking about canceling.
Right.
Netflix.
So, like, I
the only thing I could see this being is the Apple Plus killer.
I think Apple TV is going to have a real hard time getting traction.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to go away just because they're stubborn and
it's Apple.
And they have all the money in the world.
Yeah. They're one of the trillion. They're one of the, like, most cash companies
yeah,
the U.S. I think Amazon's higher now, because we talked about this was months ago.
Yeah.
I think Amazon surpassed them, but for a long time it was Apple. Like, they've got all the money, but yeah, they're different. I think what it really is going to do is it's for kids programming,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you were subscribing to Netflix for their variety of kids shows, which they do have How to Train Your Dragon, this, that, and the other,
yeah, they have a lot of really quality kids shows on Netflix,
but,
like, yeah, that's not.
But if you were just sitting your kids in front of that, and then you're like, oh, for half the price, we get all the Disney shows.
Right.
I think a parent would go, oh, well, we'll just buy this for a year. Like, you know, if they're not a big TV person.
Sure. Or if they were in a position where they can only do one.
Yeah.
Like,
makes perfect sense.
I think Disney would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, though, because, you know, you can also make the argument that Netflix has a lot more grown-up programming.
Well, right. That's what I mean. If they're not TV people, if you're both sharing it, definitely. But I think some people probably just get it for their kids and they don't watch streaming TV, older crowds or whatever. And
I think there's also, like, you can justify the purchase from the standpoint of, well, I don't have to buy Blu-rays anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I was gonna poo-poo that, but you can't, because they have all the special features on there.
Like, and they're in 4K.
If you go to the Avengers Endgame and drop down, they've got all the deleted scenes. They've got director's commentaries. Like, they're all streaming.
But they're 4K HDR, too, which I don't buy 4K. I only buy Blu-rays, which they look perfectly fine. You watch a Blu-ray on a 4K TV, they look beautiful. They're awesome. So I haven't decided to spend $30 on each movie yet. But you go to Disney Plus, and not only is it a lot of the new Marvel stuff, but they have some other Disney films, and they're in 4K HDR. The quality is beautiful.
Yeah, it's watching the old Star Wars in
on a 4K TV,
buddy.
You just every detail.
But yeah, so they I think the two big ones for Endgame was you got to see Tony Stark meet his daughter, but when they cast that gal from 13 Reasons Why,
okay,
everybody's like, and then they cut her, they're like, well, who the well, it was his daughter.
Yeah.
She played an adult version of his daughter
that
she was going to see.
Would like the girl that kills herself? That
I
girl?
Think so, yeah.
Okay, spoilers.
It's the plot of the show.
But the other, it was interesting, they had another scene that was the alternate death of the Black Widow. So, like, they're on Vormir and everything. You know,
I saw, and it was weird, though, because the alternate death, it was just high cholesterol. And I just
who
thought,
knew?
Yeah, I just thought.
Playing,
like,
the long game.
Yeah, I just really thought it would have been more exciting, you know?
It's not.
Yeah.
But no, like, they do the whole scene where, like, you know, he says, I think we're talking about two different things. And then all of a sudden, here come, like, the Chitauri.
And then she just takes out a gun, shoots herself in the head. It was really violent.
Yeah. But she gets shot, like, 5 times. And as she's. Clint's dead to rights. Thanos has got him dead to rights, and she's falling backwards and shoots a Chitauri and then falls backwards off the cliff and dies. Mm. And I was like, well, both kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, they both, but it's, I will say that it's impressive that they put all of those special features on their own app, Which, yeah. I mean,
it's.
I guess they figure if you wanted to buy Endgame, you've already bought it,
right?
Well, sure.
You know,
it's such a great value. If you think about that, one of these regular Blu-rays on sale is $20, and a 4K is like $30.
Right.
You could spend month to month $6.99,
sure,
and get all of these with special features. Yeah, it's such a low
amount
of money.
If you buy three or four Blu-rays a year, you're coming out ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Big time. Did you see the animated trailer for the What If series? Mm-mm. You see that?
No.
So they did. It's a Marvel Zombies. Where it looks like Bucky is the hero.
Oh, cool.
They did one where what if Agent Carter took the super soldier serum and became Captain Britain. Huh. One was what if T'Challa was Star-Lord?
Oh, wow.
And why not?
Those
like,
are
if
gonna
you're,
be
if
fun.
You're doing what if, you're like, sure, that's let's do
the,
that.
That's the joy of
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So they did like a quick little, the animation's a little wonky. Like, I'm not really sure. Maybe it was just like a.
Oh, is it DC
it's
anime?
No. It's definitely like, it looks like Castlevania. I don't know if you watch that show on Netflix.
Isn't that anime too?
It is. It's yeah. anime, but it's not that.
Right.
The DC version. Like, okay. this looks a little bit better than that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just, they've got, it's, you, there's no. It's literally, there's no end.
Like, there's a
time. I've yet to find an end to the app where it's just like, oh, no, that's
it's,
it.
There's so much, it's kind of hard to make decisions. But I went back and I watched, my first cartoon was Darkwing Duck.
Interesting.
Like,
good call.
Love Darkwing Duck. Yeah. Watched some old DuckTales, Simpsons. I mean, the Simpsons.
Which they're fixing.
And they said they're going to fix that.
Next year, yeah.
Get it back in 4-3.
Good. That was the only frustrating thing is that we all questioned. That was the big question mark. They're getting all the Simpsons, but on FXX on the Simpsons world, you could pick 4:3 or 16:9. And what always frustrated me was the 16:9 was super high def and nice quality, but they crop it to fit the TV.
You miss
but some
you
of go
the
to 4:3 and it's like VHS quality.
Yeah.
It's like, why could they not just scan them in and super high quality for 4:3
and then crop them? Yeah.
But
like it's...
There's a lot of visual gags you miss, and it was frustrating to see that. And then they listened, which is cool, and they're like, we hear you. 2020, you're getting the option. So that's really cool that they realize how big of a deal that is.
You know, if you think about it, I think the amount of money they're making, like, just to put it in perspective, and I know the math isn't working on this exactly because there were some sales, like the year-long thing, but let's just say 10 million people at $7 a month.
Yeah.
$70 million a month.
Yep.
That's like releasing a hit blockbuster movie.
Yep.
Every month.
Yeah.
I mean, because they don't have the expense of creating the blockbuster. Mm-hmm. I know a blockbuster would make more than $70 million, but when you figure what their take of a blockbuster is, because they don't have to create the content.
It's all there already.
So they're basically just released 12 hit movies a year, and I mean...
It's just the server cost. I mean, managing the internet, the bandwidth,
yeah,
the servers.
To say they're doing nothing is... Sure. is
no, they've,
is
got, some
misnomer,
they've got some
but,
work, but it's also...
But proportionally.
But they have the content already.
Right, right.
They just have to make sure the
and
app
they've
works.
Got, and they've got new content coming.
Yeah.
Always.
You know, always. Well, it's like, I mean, like
that
original content.
We didn't even talk about original content. Did you guys watch any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, the only thing I've watched so far is the first episode of The Mandalorian.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
So I watched the first two episodes of that. The first one, I wasn't that impressed. I mean, that was super hyped up. Like, they just overhyped it, I think, too much. But, like, I enjoyed the second episode. That was a lot of fun. And then there's a Jeff Goldblum show where he just explores the world.
Yeah, for
the
first Nat Geo.
Yeah, and the first one is Sneakers, and it's his just eccentric, weird, quirky personality going into different industries, and it's a really fun show. Then they did an Imagineering one.
I heard the Imagineering one is really good.
It's great. I mean, if you're
is that the one with Kristen Bell? No? I saw her
hosting
something.
There, but... I don't think for some reason I don't remember her in the episode, but I do remember seeing a picture of her. But if you're a big Disney fan, you watch YouTube videos and all, I mean, you've probably seen a lot of the stuff they talk about, but it's a really good high quality production value about Walt and the creation of Disney and Disney World and all that. So they talk to Imagineers and about creating the rides, and it's fascinating. And they're going to do for the original programming, it's an episode a week. So it's like regular TV, smart, keep people to subscribe,
right,
and they can't
and
binge
they,
them all.
They don't have, I mean, they have a lot of content, but from a new content standpoint,
there's not
original
a lot out
content.
Yeah,
so
there's like
they,
five or six.
They need to parcel that out a little bit at the moment.
There's a Disney, Pixar, and real life little thing. And there's like, they're like 10-minute episodes. They're short, but the first one was Inside Out, and they had actors with earpieces, and so they had the control panel from Inside Out in a park, and people could go up to it and press things, and they were having conversations, and the actors would switch depending on what buttons they press for emotions.
Cool. Oh, okay.
And they would switch on the fly and continue the conversation. But it was really neat. And on the cover, there's Wally, like robotic, realistic Wally walking around that's going to be doing stuff.
I don't need to go to Wally World. I don't need to get like that movie's so goddamn depressing.
So yeah, I'm really happy. And then I
thought you were making a National Lampoon's
Vacation.
No.
I realized
that's what I thought too.
I realized after I said Wally World that's what that would.
Everyone wants to go to Wally World. I'm like,
sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Park's closed.
You're talking about it wasn't Wally on Earth, and it was just like
dilapidated. Yes. Yeah. It was awful.
It was covered in trash.
I'm like, you're in okay.
Not yet. I'm not. Wally is a trash compactor.
Right. Yeah. And the other one is I watched High School Musical, the musical, the series.
I will say the trailer for that looked really good, and I've never seen a High School Musical, but I thought the trailer looked really good.
Katie made me watch the first High School Musical.
Is that Zac Efron?
Sorry.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, I like musicals, but it's a Disney Channel original movie musical.
And it shows.
Yes. So take that for what it's worth. But this is a really great premise. So High School Musical, the series, is it takes place like High School Musical is a real movie in their world. And these kids go to school at the school where High School Musical
was
filmed.
Oh. And they're going to go back to the school to stage the musical.
Well, they're at the school, and this new drama teacher comes on, and she's like, I can't believe that at this school where this was filmed that they've never staged a production of High School Musical, the musical.
Right.
So she starts getting casting for it. And
It sounds like a younger version of Glee.
I mean, there's obviously similar elements, but what's funny about it is for fans of the movies, Katie was pointing out everything that like the plot of the characters in real life kind of reflects the stuff from the movies.
Yeah.
So if you don't watch the movies, I didn't pick up on a lot of it.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is just like when this happened or this, but it's about, you know, teens and relationships and stuff, but it's really funny because they have to stage a production and they go to, I don't know if it was a real school or they rebuilt the sets, but it looks exactly like the stuff from the movies.
That's fun.
And it's fun. It's filmed it's an office style. They talk to the camera.
It's like a fake reality show.
Was there supposed to, speaking of that, was there supposed to be a Muppet show?
There were two, and one got canceled, and one is like a short segments. And I didn't watch it, but I searched Muppets, and I did see something.
Oh,
on
there is
there.
Something on there.
But the Josh Gad one got canceled.
So what was that going to be? What was the Josh Gad like a riff on the Muppet Show?
I don't know exactly what that was supposed to be. I didn't really get too many details on it, but I know there were two different things in that one. Which I mean, with Josh Gad involved, I was excited
for it.
I love the Muppets. But
yeah.
So unfortunately, but there's a lot of the Muppet movies around there.
Not the Muppet Show.
No,
that's
that was
CBS
surprising.
Though. Is that ABC? Oh wait,
but they own it. No, it was not.
NBC?
No,
WNBC.
No. The Muppet Show was first run syndication.
Oh, okay.
So that should be controlled, and they put out seasons 1 and 2 on DVD.
I think it was more than that.
They certainly didn't complete it.
Okay.
And so I don't know what the holdup is.
I wonder who has the rights. So, I mean, if you watch that amazing Defunkland, did I get it right this time? Defunkland TV on Jim Henson. Amazing, like, 6-part series that I know I've raved about on the show before. Seek it out and watch it. But if you see what Jim had to do to get that going, and it was like financed in the UK, and there must be some weird rights issues or something holding it up, because if Disney owned it,
it could be music licensing, because
just like SNL,
because they would do a lot of different songs, and if they had Alice Cooper on there, then they would do Schools Out.
Yeah, maybe
that's a good point.
It could be a music licensing.
If you watch those
issue.
The SNLs that were on Netflix, they would cut out the musical act altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would just take them all
they
out.
They do it on Hulu, even when it's a brand new one.
Oh, do they really?
They'll drop the musical performance.
I do that manually anyway. That's the worst part of SNL. Is it like an inside joke to do a bad line? Like, why are they so bad? Why are they so
what's
bad?
What's interesting, because this season, Billie Eilish was the... I think in the season premiere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
hers was good, right?
And hers was really good.
Because I watched it.
Yeah. But ever since then, it's been like an arms race. And and now everybody is taking that performance on SNL way more seriously and doing more interesting visual thing.
Because she did the rotating room?
She did the rotating room.
Okay, because I feel like
Timberlake did like some laser show when he did it.
Yeah, every once in a while you get somebody that would do something creative. I know Kanye had a really cool one. But for the most part, they just stand there and play.
Right. And the audio quality is terrible. Yeah. Like, even if you like the people, and going to see them live is usually a really awesome experience, but it just doesn't translate on that little SNL stage.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so I've learned to just skip past them, because every time you try, it's the most boring, crappy.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think it's current music.
Well, no, I mean, people
boring,
you know are on there. They just
crappy.
It's not just that, though, because I don't even know current music, but I go try to listen to people I know, and they're, you know, they're just standing there, and the audio's bad, and it's boring, and you're like, okay, this is dumb. So, but
and they put out seasons 1 through 3 on DVD, oh, okay. But there were 5 seasons
okay,
of Muppet Show.
Okay.
Well, hopefully they get that sorted out, because I searched Muppets trying to see if they had it, and they didn't, and I ended up, I have never seen The Great Muppet Caper.
That's a good
so
one.
I started yeah. watching that, and I didn't finish it, but
those first three are really good,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then it drops off.
I think Christmas Carol is kind of the last good one.
I love Christmas Carol.
And
that's my favorite.
And they come back with the one behind your head.
Oh, the yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That one. I have a poster for the Muppets, yeah. the Jason Segel one.
Right.
Yeah, I love both the new ones, though.
Most Wanted was very funny.
I thought Most Wanted was really good. Like, it wasn't as enchanting as the Muppets.
I am Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. But it was, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah,
I don't know why it didn't do better.
Muppet fatigue, maybe. That's not a thing. I'm making that up.
But that's James Bobbin that directed it. Ooh, yeah. Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer.
So it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
Any other movie news from you?
I did actually, I meant to talk about it last week with Dr. Sleep, but we just got sidetracked. I saw the trailer for the new Dark Universe, the Blumhouse Dark Universe.
Oh. The real one.
So is that Invisible Man trailer that's out, is that really supposed to be part of...
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to be like the Invisible Man.
Yes.
Because I thought that trailer looked awesome.
Oh, it was amazing.
But I also loved, like, it was such a unique take on it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, yeah, it would be like that. And if memory serves, I haven't seen the Invisible Man in 40 years, but...
It's not scary.
But doesn't it drives him crazy, right?
I think
the
serum drives him crazy, yes.
Right. So if he's already kind of a D-bag.
Right.
And then, so it's like the trailer, I thought the trailer looked great. Not anything you would expect. And I'm in a Universal Monsters group on Facebook,
sure.
And they all hated it.
Of course.
And they're all like weird dicks. And so I'm like, I'm good with the fact that you guys hate it because, like, yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, like you guys just want to remake the old movies
with
better makeup.
That's the problem with fans to the extreme. And
yeah.
I mean, I know we all have stuff that we really love, but...
Do they rock the mic like a vandal?
But they just guard it so closely.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want clever, new, fresh takes? Like, come
no,
on.
They don't.
And
yeah, they don't.
It's like,
they want to relive their childhood with modern-day effects.
Claude Reed?
Go put that in. Why
Claude
do people,
Rains?
Claude Rains, I think, yeah.
Why do people not get that when you remake something? I mean, I've said this a lot. I'm not a huge fan of all the remakes, but you know what? Don't see them and go watch your old one. Like,
yeah.
You know,
can buy the box set on Blu-ray. And
right.
They look great.
But I love when people take something like that and be like, you know, and apply some real-world logic to it of, like,
yeah.
What would that really be like? Like, yeah, this lady, I mean, for this woman, it would be a form of gaslighting.
Oh,
right? Like,
for sure.
Like, and no one would believe her because it's ridiculous. And, you
and she looks crazy.
She looks crazy. Like, I thought that looked
yeah. So it's,
really
it's,
good.
Elizabeth Moss.
It's Elizabeth
awesome.
Moss.
Oh, she's great. She's so good.
It's the drug addict brother from Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
He plays the boyfriend. And basically, from what it
is
looks
Elliot
like.
Elliot from E.T.?
No.
That's the
dad.
It's the only thing I know about that
that's,
show.
That's
is
the dad.
Apparently Elliot's in it, and I had no idea he was still acting.
So it looks like Elizabeth Moss is in an abusive relationship. She runs away. And in the process of running away, she gets called into the lawyer's office and says that your ex-husband or boyfriend killed himself and left you $10 to $5 million. And the only way you can collect it is if you can prove that you're not crazy. And she was like, shouldn't be a problem. Well, the problem is he's the Invisible Man and he is gaslighting her to know, like, he's terrorizing her.
Right.
And it's her trying to, like, you know, I thought the scene where she was like she's sitting on a bed and. I don't know if it's like the other two supporting characters are like, what's wrong? She's like, there's somebody sitting in the corner, sitting in that chair. And it's just like, I'm sure they're just like, what are you talking? Like, you're nuts.
Right.
So, I mean, it's actually the guy who co-wrote Saw. I think he wrote and directed this. The guy, did you see Saw?
No.
Okay. Did you see Saw?
Yes.
The other guy.
I mean, I would seesaw when I was a small child.
Oh, good. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
The guy who's the photographer. Yeah. That's the guy. It's James Wan's writing partner.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote and directed this. It's a.
Wasn't he the other guy in the room and saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Keri Ulls.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like, it looks terrifying. It's a brilliant take on.
It's
that.
Blumhouse. Like, come on. That's all you have to say.
Well, that's the thing. Is like,
it's Blumhouse.
Yeah. Gave
Blumhouse every Universal monster.
They did. That's the deal. Blumhouse now has the Universal tag.
But they have the rights to everything?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
When the mummy tanked, they were just like, we don't know what to do. And Blumhouse is like, give them to me.
Okay. Like, he's like, I'm going to do it for $300. Like, right. If I can't.
Foot rubbing a bump up.
Yeah. Like, I can't screw it up. Yeah. So. And you know what? And I think that's great because these things began life as B movies.
Yeah.
Let them go be B movies.
Did they make some amazing films? Absolutely.
Absolutely. But it was by accident.
By accident. Yeah. Right.
Like nobody thought that they were doing good work over there. It was just like, whoops, silly, dumb, cheap movies for the kids. It wasn't meant to stand the test of time.
You get a Popeye cartoon, a Superman cartoon, and here's the Wolfman.
And sometimes that's where the best stuff comes from, you know? And when people, sometimes some of the best art is created by people who don't realize that they're creating art.
Right. They're making a paycheck and then all of a sudden they create the Wolfman.
Right.
You know, something like that. But well, yeah.
That's exciting.
Nobody thought that, you know, Stan Lee was creating great art.
Even Stan Lee didn't think that.
No. He was just trying to pay the bills.
Not even that. He was going to quit.
And I don't partake, but I think you could say the same thing right now about what goes on in video games. Like, I think people will look back and be like, some of those are great art.
There's some amazing games out there.
Yeah.
I'm playing Death Stranding right now, which is directed by Hideo Kojima and stars Norman Reedus, Guillermo del Toro, Lea Seydoux, Mads Mikkelsen. I mean, it is basically like a 12-hour movie. The cutscenes, I mean, first of all, there's actors motion capturing themselves.
Right.
They look like real people, and there's a story. I mean, it's like, you know, and Hideo Kojima, for people that know, he made the Metal Gear Solid series.
Yeah.
He's the director, and he's a huge film fan. I mean, his character is called Snake Plissken in Metal Gear Solid because he loves the movies. Hideo wanted to be a film director. Like, he loves film. So he got into video games, and now he makes games that are like movies and have great stories and great acting. And this is a huge project, and he got so many people involved. And it's just cool to be playing a video game but then be watching these cutscenes that are like 30 minutes at a time, and I'm like, I'm watching a movie. They trick me. It's a cinematic experience, but you get to play in between. And
And you see this with any art form, medium, genre. When it first starts, people are dismissive of it, and it's not. I mean, there was a time when people said, musicals weren't real art. Like
comic books.
You know, our comic books, video games, television, radio, they all
porn.
Porn? Yeah, absolutely.
No, they never said that.
I never said it. But they all went through this period where they're, you know, I mean, when Mozart first started, they were like, well, but you're not real music.
Oh, really?
You're not doing it right.
Jeez.
Like, they were just like, this is crap, and this isn't, you know.
It reminds me so much of Yesterday. Like, when they are...
Oh, that's when all your troubles seem so far away.
That's right, yeah. But when they're talking to the guy from New Girl, and they're just like, you know, this Abbey Road is like, what does that mean? Or, you know, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club's Band, where it's just like, people wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
They just don't understand, you know, what art was or what art could have... What could have been or things like that.
It's funny. I saw people in one of the Monkees thing groups on Facebook complaining about that movie because there's a scene where he pulls his records out, and they kind of spill all over the floor, and you see a David Bowie record. And they're like, his name would not be David Bowie.
Oh.
Because David Bowie's real name is David Jones, and he had to change his name from David Jones to David Bowie because they were afraid it would create confusion with Davy Jones of the Monkees, because the Monkees were so popular.
And they're saying the Monkees wouldn't exist.
And the Monkees would not exist
without the Beatles.
Had there not been the Beatles.
That's interesting.
They greenlit the show The Monkees because of the success of Hard Day's Night.
It's funny how, like, that one thing made it through.
Yeah.
But, like, there's so many other things that they caught, like, no Coke, no cigarettes.
Right.
No Oasis. So it's funny that, like, that one thing slipped through and nobody caught it. That's funny.
Yeah, I just thought that was...
That's good. I like that.
So,
but yeah, The Invisible Man is coming out next year, I think.
And leading into the next movie, Christian Bale gave an interview and they asked him why there's no Nolan Batman 4. And apparently they approached them and said, you want to do it again? And they're like, no. They said they greenlit the third one. They were fine stopping after two. They're like, all right, we'll make it a trilogy, but we're really done this time. Let's end it right the way we want it. They approached him and they're like, nope, we're staying true to that trilogy. So they turned it down.
But why would you bring him back?
What do you mean?
You had to bring him back. They set it up for Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, maybe he just knows, though. I don't know.
That could be. That's
I'm just telling you. They approached them. I mean,
that's funny.
When a movie makes $1.2 billion or whatever, they don't care what you set up. They say, do you want to make Batman 4?
They will find a way.
That's why we get Joker 2.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently the cinematographer of Joker, which was a gorgeous, like movie, is shooting Black Adam. So.
Wow.
So that's, we're going to get
it. We did get that 2020? No.
I don't remember.
No, they did. They just gave the date.
I
think it's December 2020.
Okay. So it might have a pretty good look to it. So that's more of a bigger, more traditional comic book type movie. And
it's interesting. They've been doing a lot in the comics with that character. And I can definitely see where they're going to make. They could make him. He could get his own movie and be like the hero. Because in recent comics, he is kind of walking that line, like he's fighting for his people, but also he will, like, if you come into my country, I will rip your face off.
Right.
But he's fighting for the people.
And so it's the Rock. You can't make the Rock just a true villain, probably. He's got to walk that line.
How long do you think that lasts?
Until he's not making $1 billion per movie. Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's almost like the Hulk Hogan thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, it stopped working and they're like, I don't know.
When the Rock
be a bad guy.
When the Rock stops making $1 billion, he'll venture out and do some risky stuff. But for now,
I could see him. Maybe
he's good.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah,
but he's done risky stuff in the past. I mean, he was in that Get Shorty sequel.
He was,
and
he had hair in that. I mean, so that was very early on in his career.
He's dabbled in more serious. He was in Pain and Gain.
He's
dabbled in that.
Ballers is a little bit of a different. Yeah. Show for him.
I just feel like he's kind of in his groove right now
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah. Exactly. He's like, oh, I got Jumanji and Jungle Cruise on the way.
But he has a brand, you know? I mean, he has an image and he is the highest paid actor in the world. So,
yeah. There's a reason.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should probably stop this part and turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin.
Not necessarily.
No, we should.
Oh.
Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And this week, hey, the movie of the week is number one at the box office, and this made a lot more money than I would have thought.
Who knew?
Especially based on the slow box office from last week. I just didn't think this was a well-known enough topic, especially in the States, that people would see it. But $30.5 million for Ford v. Ferrari.
I mean,
Ford and the Furious.
Le Mans 66.
I was furious watching this movie, but we'll get into that.
Whoa, what's happening right now?
He's a Chevy guy.
No, I'm a Ford guy, but
he has a picture of Calvin Peen on this movie.
All right. I can, you know, if they made like a good, semi good, like racing movie a year, I'd be all right with it. Like, I like a good car movie, but not like Fast and the Furious.
Right.
A good car movie. Yeah. So I can appreciate
Rush.
I enjoy Rush. Was a lot of fun.
Rush was good.
Rush was great.
Yeah,
and I don't. It's funny the way people are like all about this movie critically.
Yeah,
and I don't think
saw Rush.
Nobody saw Rush, and I don't think this movie is appreciably better than Rush.
Yeah. I think it's on for me at least. It was on the level of Rush.
Yeah, and I
we'll get into it.
Yes, we will.
But $30.5 million. So, and I'm sure that Le Mans 66 will do well overseas. It's only called Ford v Ferrari in the States.
Is that right? Oh, yes.
Because people actually know what Le Mans is in Europe, so they call it that.
That's good. I like
which,
that.
Like, I don't know why they didn't just call it here, but I guess, you know, Ford.
We don't know what the hell that is. Everybody be like, first off, I don't like foreign movies. Second, I'd have to see 65 other movies in order to know what's going on. Like, that's,
take your Le Mans and get it out of here. Yeah. So we'll get into that one next episode. Number two, Midway. I mean, we kind of predicted it last week when it made a decent box office, and then that it's like people are going to slowly get to the movies. It's a dad movie. That's
right.
What type of thing this
or
is.
Or a granddad movie.
Well,
right.
Or a great granddad movie.
It is. $9.3 million is a 48% drop. It is the most expensive independent movie ever made. You know, it was made outside of the studio system.
Oh, really?
But with a lot of Chinese money.
Yeah.
Not outside of the studio.
Like a quarter financed by China, but $100 million budget.
Because they hate the Japanese.
Yeah, right. And shout out to Michael Tonkovic for replying to our the comment that I made. So yeah. I was right. It's fine.
Yeah. Tom would take a pee break. So I know he can't say here nor there about this, but last week I had mentioned, I thought that the Japanese were in control of the Chinese at this time.
Do you have an omission and correction?
No, they were.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Yeah. Like, so the Japanese at that time in World War II controlled Hong Kong and a lot of other, you know, they had control in different areas and everything. So I think that's also why China was like, hey, we'll show you how they got defeated. And
guess what? We're going to make you look real bad.
Yeah. So, but you know, they didn't. It was, I was surprised. And I did that podcast that I posted last week on the Feel and Film podcast. And I had a great conversation with Aaron, and he's a veteran. So thank you for your service. And go listen to that. And it was a really special episode for him being in the Navy and serving. And we talked about the movie, and they were really respectful for on both sides.
Oh, were they?
Showing the, you know, the honor of the people fighting for their country. And you got to realize that it's like, you know, these Japanese soldiers, it's not like they were just like, yeah, we hate America, let's go kill them all. Like, they were commanded to do stuff.
I mean,
and,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's
sure
your country sends you to do this.
I think when you look at war films, it's very easy to paint. I mean, Nazis are very easy to paint in a bad light. Yeah. The Japanese in World War II can be very easy, but you're right.
They're
like,
soldiers.
They're soldiers, like we were.
They're not making these decisions. And so, and a lot of times these countries, and I'm not necessarily speaking for Japan, which I'm sure it still was very strongly. I mean, if you're in the army, you got to do this. But you think about Germany, it's like, you don't do what they say, they kill you.
Yeah, it's like,
so,
you don't have much of a choice.
You know, these are soldiers that are being sent to their death to fight. So anyway, the main point is, Tom's back.
I feel like we should say I'm not defending Nazism.
No,
right,
not
now.
At
like,
all.
I just, but there are some good people on both sides.
Yeah,
that's all you're saying.
No, exactly. It's not what they believe in or who they're the country they're fighting for, but the grunts, the soldiers, are just doing a job,
yeah.
And a lot of times they don't have a choice. And so what the movie did is that it just painted both sides as like these soldiers had honor, and they weren't just like, oh, these were a bunch of villains just running around being crazy. It's like they showed these people and dying for their country and saying, you know, I'll go down with the ship kind of mentality, and
yeah,
and just the honor on both sides. And so it really paints an interesting picture, and it was very historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say go, since we didn't review it and I just touched upon a couple things, go listen to that Feel and Film podcast that I did over there, and we went through it, and Aaron has more knowledge, and it was really interesting to discuss it with him. But I was telling Joe when you were gone that I looked it up, and Japan was in control of the Chinese area, which I had guessed because it had Chinese money, and I was like, I didn't expect that, but they were kind of taken over by Japan at the time, so I think they're like, yeah, we'll show you how the Japan...
Have I got a movie for you?
Yeah, we'll show you how they were defeated. So anyway, but...
Can we make another one of those movies where the Japanese lose?
So that one with $10 million, though, still making quite a bit of money. Number three, Playing with Fire, Joe's favorite film of 2019, starring John Cena.
Gross.
$8 million in week two, a 37% drop. So guess he's not going away anytime soon.
Unfortunately.
That's up to $25 million domestic. Charlie's Angels opened to $8 million, so
sad trombone.
They tried to reboot.
I mean, honestly, I haven't heard bad things about it.
No, I heard it's fun. It's Elizabeth Banks. I like her writing and directing, and
yeah,
I just think it's a property that, like, you can't take these shows from the 70s and market them to millennials.
Kids. No,
they don't know what you're talking about.
No, you have to. I mean, you could use the format. The format could work,
but don't think you have a built-in fan
Correct.
Base.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
No one knows what you're doing.
None of that fan service means anything.
No, and the
I mean, I'm 45. I'm 49, and I barely remember Charlie's Angels.
I remember who was the tall one. Obviously, Farrah Fawcett. But
well,
who
I don't know how to break it to you, but I don't know even know who you are anymore, Joe. Nobody's ever described the Charlie's Angels based on height.
Well... Because there were two brunettes, weren't there?
What's that?
There were two brunettes.
Well, there was. There was
Farrah Fawcett, obviously.
Let's just leave it at this. Shows how little people have.
Right.
You don't even know how to describe them. That's how much love there is.
Farrah Fawcett, Kate Jackson.
Okay, who was like the leader?
No, it's Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu,
Drew Barrymore.
But that's the thing, that they've already tried to do this, and it was like 15 years ago. And what's funny is those movies were really popular, and I'm thinking back how weird that was that. You know, like, kids my age loved those. They're at least that first Charlie's
Angels.
The first
one. The second one's pretty bad.
And it's just funny that now they're doing it again, but it seems like...
But who was the leader on the show?
Bosley.
Not Bosley. of the Angels.
Charlie.
Charlie's kind of can't have a girl lead a team like what that.
Is Elizabeth Banks Bosley in the new movie? Is that what they're doing? I haven't seen it. I don't know much, but she's in it. So I'm wondering if she's the Bosley.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe she's Charlie.
Is she Bosley Exposition? Isn't that Austin Powers?
Charlene. Yes. Yeah.
Oh. So anyway, but
whoever the one that I always liked was the one who was the leader and the original one. Whoever she was.
You've made a perfect case for the argument. So.
No, totally. Right? Yeah. I can picture her, but I can't think. I don't know what her name is.
So anyway, Last Christmas, the Paul Feig movie from last week, is 34% drop, so 7.5 million. So almost as much as Charlie's Angels in its second week. It is up to $23.3 million. Dr. Sleep, the movie from last week, good Lord, $6 million, a 57% drop.
Apparently they greenlit a sequel.
What?
They greenlit a sequel before this even came out, but now they're just like, maybe not.
They're ungreenlighting a sequel. Right.
We're going to yellow light the sequel.
They need a red pump the brakes.
It's yellow turning to red.
Also, according to Wikipedia, there are two Bosleys.
Ah.
Okay.
Elizabeth Banks, and then that guy whose name I can never say.
Sweet.
Digimon.
Oh.
Digimon.
Damon Hinsu.
Digimon Pokemon. What?
Damon Hinsu.
Digimon Hinsu.
Okay.
The Jimon is silent.
Like Django.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know about that, Dr. Sleep.
Patrick Stewart also plays a Bosley.
In the movie? In this movie?
Yeah.
Apparently,
Bosley, it looks like just based on the credits, like Bosley is more of a title that gets passed.
Like James Bond.
Yes. Mm,
interesting. Well, maybe not. So anyway, so we'll see what happens with Dr. Sleep 2, but I don't think so. Number 7, Joker. $5.4 million. Talk about a movie that does not stop. I guess we could have talked about that news. We hinted at it last week, but it is the only rated R movie to cross the $1 billion mark. So it has done that worldwide. And it's still number 7 domestically with $5.4 million, a 41% drop in week 7, $322 million domestic.
Man, that's crazy.
So, unbelievable, the amount of box office. And I just think it's amazing that it's just not a traditional superhero movie. I don't want to say tricked people, but it's an art house movie that they got people to go spend $1 billion on. And
yeah, it's funny. Like I just actually, somebody posted the Murray scene again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's intense. Like that whole scene with him sitting there with De Niro is intense.
Oh yeah. Every scene. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, I'll say it. I've said it before. Say it again. One of the greatest actors alive. And every scene, I mean, is mesmerizing. You can't take your eyes off him. Whatever he's doing,
I agree.
Is captivating, and he's doing stuff out there. I love seeing other actors that are seeing the movie, and they're just like, yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. Like, they're in
other
awe.
Actors are like, God.
They're just like, I love seeing the praise to him because it's not the traditional movie that would make a billion
dollars. Well, not every actor feels that way.
No, that's true.
There's
one that comes to mind.
Really?
Who does not feel that way.
Man, that's not the Joker. Man. So anyway, doing quite well for the Joker and good for Todd Phillips. Like,
He's
a rich man.
I'm open to the idea of doing a sequel.
Yeah, Todd Phillips is like, yeah, you want to cut my budget? Like, he could hardly get Warner Brothers to greenlight this thing. And he's like, okay, we'll keep the budget low and whatever, and I won't take it up front. I'll just take a piece of the back end. Like, he was already a rich man
because
of Hangover.
Sitting pretty.
He is a rich, rich, rich man.
Yeah, he is sitting pretty.
Anyway, good for him. Number 8, The Good Liar opened, and womp womp, $5.2 million. I mean, it's not a blockbuster type movie, but we were debating seeing
Did you see it?
I did see it.
How is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Good.
It's a
good call.
Airport novel elevated by the cast, but
that's
not even the cast, elevated by the two stars.
Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen?
Yeah. But, the problem is it's kind of a con man movie, right? He's out to steal her money and like what's going to happen. Ooh, there's twists and turns. But
did you see it all coming?
No, you don't. But that's not a good thing.
Hmm.
And this because the... because the problem is that it hinges entirely on not a piece of information, but an entire backstory that isn't revealed to you until the last 30 minutes. They literally, there's a scene where they literally are like, sit down and I will explain this to you.
So the whole time you would never even be able to figure it out because you don't know that backstory.
Right.
Like there's no way to even piece it. You're just at the end told, oh, well, here's why.
Here's the other thing.
Oh.
You know, a long time ago, blah, blah, blah.
Galaxy far, far away.
Oh, we're doing one of those. Mm-hmm. And so.
Is he somebody's dad?
I'll spoil it here, but
I'm not gonna spoil
it. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But it was just,
that's too bad.
Yeah, and like I said, it was fun to watch those two, but the story I was in because I thought the trailer looked really good.
The trailer did look really good.
I was like, oh, this could be something fun and different, and it was not all that well done.
Swing and a miss.
Gotcha.
Well, it wasn't all that well done. It was well done. But I didn't like the story. I didn't think the story was well.
Was it like
conceived.
That? What was that? Liam Neeson train movie. Remember the one where
nonstop?
Oh yeah.
Like was it on that level?
Oh,
like
God,
where it's like it's a well done movie, but it's just like, man, whatever.
Yeah, that was an annoying. I remember that was a frustrating movie.
I think I enjoyed this more than that.
Okay.
Well, there you go. So okay. Well, check it out on VOD then, I guess.
Yeah. Disney Plus.
I think it's coming to Disney Plus.
Even though it's so bad, even though it's made by Warner Brothers, it'll be on Disney Plus.
Like, do you want this?
Warner Brothers is like, we don't know what we're doing with our streaming service, so you take it.
God. Number 9, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
Wow, did that jump back up? I feel like that was out of the top 10.
I mean, it's hanging on here. 5.1 is a 39% drop. It's at $105 million domestic. And rounding out the top 10 is Harriet, which we've heard is pretty good. 4.3 million is a 42% drop, and that's about 31 million domestic in 3 weeks. So good for it for a little Focus Features art house movie. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Tom.
I guess that's it for this one. We'll go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, please do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Like the page and join our group. And then, of course, find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, what have you. And be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content, and you get to help us out a little bit, and we greatly appreciate it. We like you extra. That's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Ford v. Ferrari.
Dawn of cars.
Until then, you've been warned.
You're going fast.
You need to see everything.
You ready?
Hit it.
Attaboy.
Look at this now!
You're welcome.
Ford versus Ferrari, rated PG-13. Tickets available now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.